Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The puck comes back toward the Winnipeg end, knocked down by Ellis. Flipped over right side for Arvidsson. Arvidsson breaking in that shot. And that one took off high off the wall and brought out to center. And now brought down the right wing side. Here is Kyle Connor in front for the score. Patrick Laine finished it off. 18 seconds in, the Jets take the lead. Foligno goes back toward the right point as the Predators try to take the puck off the board. Grimaldi goes behind the net. Banks it for Hamhuis. Hamhuis back to Grimaldi in tight left. Throws it across, and the shot of the score! Nick Foligno puts the Predators on the board. Arvidsson trying to get the shot. They got a stick in on him there. 2 seconds remaining. Forsberg gets the puck. His shot takes off. That out of play, and the game ends 2-1 Winnipeg.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome to the program. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson here on a Wednesday edition. The Nashville Predators fall last night to the Winnipeg Jets 2-1 in regulation and have now lost like 52 out of 53 games. Is that factually correct? Can we get that fact checked? No, I think it's 7 out of 8. Winnipeg has now won 5 straight on the road. And the Preds, they listen, here's the deal with the Nashville Predators last night. From what I can see, guys, I really appreciated and I really liked the energy, the intensity, the passion. Philip Forsberg looked like a dude on a mission. Looked like he wanted to get in a bar fight last night. Like he looked like he wanted to take somebody's head off in the first period. And I appreciated that. They brought up 2 players from the AHL and Steven Santini and Mr. Olivier, who made his NHL debut, Matthew Olivier, that is, on the fourth line, 6'2", 220, to be more physical. Both those guys to be more physical. Kyle Turris, healthy scratch, to be more physical. Play with jam, as Peter Laviolette likes to say. That being said, that's all positive, and the defense was better, and they only gave up 2 goals. All that's fine. You feel better about the way you played last night. That's cool. You trailed literally for every single minute of the game. Literally every minute of the game, you were behind last night. Mm. You are not a good hockey team right now. You're in 6th place in the division. You're not in the playoffs. Your losing streak is out of the last 2 weeks is terrible. You're giving up too many goals. Last night, that part of the game was better. But you're just not a good hockey team right now. That's it.
You're right about that. You know, you can't. You look at this team and you try to figure out what's wrong. You know, at this point last season, I think this team was 14-5-1. Well, 15-5-1, I believe. After 14-5-1 after 20 games. This year, this team is what, 9-8-3 after 20 games. Is that 20 games? Somewhere around there. But they have a loser record. They were much better last year. Even the season before that, they were 12-6-2 after 18-19 games. And that those 2 years, to me, those teams focused a lot on defense. Did they have the offensive firepower they have this year? No. I think they focused a lot on defense. That was sort of their... You know, that was sort of their trademark, a really good defensive team. Pekka was playing great in the net. UC was playing really good in the net. This team was a good – now they had their moments, but they're a really good defensive team. This team last year only gave us 7 goals, an astounding 1 time last year. 1 time, 7 goals, 1 time, all of last year.
I think it's fair not to ask your hockey team to give up 7 goals more than 1 time. I think that's reasonable.
Like 1 time is like a mulligan.
Get
a mulligan. Yeah. And okay, we'll start off.
You played 82 games, gave up 7 goals once.
Well, okay. we can live with
that's
that
fine.
One. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
No problem.
They gave up 7 goals 1 time last year. I think now what is happening is because they have so much firepower. And you know, they might hate me for saying this. I don't think they really, the emphasis on defense wasn't the way it should be, because they just figure it's human nature. If I'm a boxer, if I'm Muhammad Ali or someone like a really good puncher, I'm fast and I'm quick. I'm thinking in my mind, you know, I can kind of slack on it because I'm so you're not going to hit me.
Yeah,
I'm going to jab, boom, boom, get out. You know, yeah. I'm going to hit you yeah. with my power, knock you out maybe in the third. Kind of like Tyson. Got you out in the first round. So did he really care about his defense?
I don't have to worry about getting my hands back to my chin.
Absolutely, because I am going to knock you out. Tyson, I am going to knock you out early.
Everybody's got a plan.
Exactly. Everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. So I'm going to knock you out quickly so I don't have to play much defense. Well, maybe that's where the Nashville Predators were at and trying to get out of. That we found out we are so good offensively that, yeah, maybe we don't have to pay attention to detail at times on defense. Now, these are not the things that I'm saying. We've had Peter on. We've had other, you know, coaches on that say pay attention to detail. We've heard all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay attention to detail. Be responsible. Be where you're supposed to be. All these things on defense. I think sometimes when you are such a great offensive team that you slack on the defensive side sometimes and you really take it for granted that, okay, we're offensively, we're going to score enough points that we could play we're going to play defense, but we're not going to play the defense that yeah. we're known for playing. And I think now it's catching up with them.
And I think, again, one of the focuses last night based on the roster moves and the lineup changes by Peter Laviolette was to get more physical mm-hmm. and to be a tougher team because, you know, we were exchanging texts last night about the Houston Rockets, about the you've called them the Kansas City Chiefs on the air multiple times, you know, whether it's Alabama, you know, again, normally very, very good on defense, but this mm-hmm. year not as good on defense, and it maybe cost them against LSU. And we look at some of these teams that are built that way you're talking about, right, where you're so good on offense and you can score. And, you know, here's the difference between the Houston Rockets, Alabama Crimson Tide, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Nashville Predators. Those teams all win games. it worked out early when the shooting percentages were off the charts for the Predators, which we knew were going to come back down to earth. Mm-hmm. We knew they couldn't shoot at that same clip like the way they were doing. And they were winning games in an alarming rate because they were just boat racing teams, and that's great. But they're not now. When you lose 7 out of 8, you're not a good hockey team. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be a good hockey team. I have full confidence that they will get out of this slump, and it makes Thursday night one of the more important games. Like, last night felt more important. It's the Winnipeg Jets. There's history there. You're at home. You're coming off a streak. You've been giving up too many goals. Peck has been pulled. It just felt like a bigger moment, and you benched Kyle Turris because you wanted to be more physical, and I think that's sending a message. Philip Forsberg, I thought, 9-23 last night, were out there, you know, proving a point, and I thought Forsberg was out there trying to prove a point early. I mean, he was every chance he got to slam into somebody, he was trying mm-hmm. to do it, and I thought, okay, that's what they need to see, you know, and that's a good positive step. The fact that they were a far more physical team last night, playing with some edge. They only give up 2 goals. Defensively, they were better. But here's the problem. You had nobody standing in front of Connor Hellebuyck the entire game. You had no traffic in front of the net. It was the easiest 38 saves I think I've seen a goaltender make at Bridgestone Arena, maybe ever. And there's still issues there. You're just not a very good team right now. It doesn't mean you're not going to be a good team moving forward. You are what your record says you are right now. You are a 500 hockey team in 6th place in the Central Division. Yeah. So you need to fix it.
Yeah, you do. And my fear is as you start to bring guys up and you start to tweak the lineup, then you start to mess with your team offensively. And I think I said this to Mace or Hal the other day. Is it possible that because they are thinking so much defensive heavy, that it can affect what they do offensively? And the answer was no, because these guys are innate. They're innate scorers. I beg to differ. I think when you're asking someone to do something, it does affect what they do on the other end. We had Coach on for Western Kentucky yesterday, and his point guard, Hollinsworth, I forget his name. He has a long last name. But he said he's an innate scorer. And I said, well, how do you take a scorer and make him a distributor. How difficult is that? And he said it's very difficult.
That's Portland.
Yeah. He said it's very difficult. It's difficult to take a scorer and make him a distributor because it does.
It's a mindset.
Yeah, it does affect one part of his game. Well, you know, will that be the same for the Nashville Predators? That you are doing the right thing in regards to thinking about defense. But when thinking about defense so much, because this has been your Achilles heel for the last, you know, 10, 12 games, does it then, you know, make your offense sort of take a back seat?
Yeah.
Because it's like defense first, then think about the offense. Yes, I know you are an innate scorer. You are one of those guys that just they were scoring out of the womb. But when I say, Braden, concentrate on that. Don't worry
right,
about that.
Right.
Concentrate on. Eventually, you're gonna be affected on the other end.
Yeah, it's human nature.
Exactly.
You can't expect it to be one way or the other. And again, this isn't football where you only play one side of the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly.
Listen, a few other things that I appreciate. Again, I thought Rocco Grimaldi was good last night. I thought 23 was good. The penalty kill was better last night. That's a positive sign. And I don't know about you guys, it felt a little bit like almost like a late 90s, early 2000s hockey game a little bit, where two teams didn't like each other. They were willing to mix it up a little bit, get a little physical, maybe cross some lines. I don't know. There was just a different vibe to last night's game. It reminded me of hockey. Again, and this is not a knock on, like, new Preds fans. Hockey in this city is a bandwagon sport for all the right reasons. It's, hey, we welcome everybody. Every hockey fan is a good hockey fan in Nashville, and that's great. But the older hockey fans that grew up with it, like I grew up watching hockey in the 80s and 90s and before the Predators ever came here, before I even moved here. And this reminded me of that kind of game where there's just, again, if you're a Jets fan, obviously you love how it played out. But physical, you know, knocking people around a little bit. Clearly these two teams don't like each other. It felt like there was more on the line last night than just a regular season game in November.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to remind ourselves that it's a regular season game in November. So there are some things to like about it. The effort was there. The defense was there. The physicality was better. The penalty kill was good. But, again, a mistake, whether it was off the referee's skate or Josi not getting back on defense, letting Patrick Laine go right around him. You gave up a goal 18 seconds into the game, and you never tied the game up ever again. You trailed for 60 minutes. There's only 60 minutes in the game, and you trailed for every single one of them at home in a critical spot. So first period, they got to fix their problems in the first period. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's leadership. I don't know if that's. I mean, I don't know. You tell me, Derek, about what it takes to have a different mentality coming out of the locker room. Again, I know the bounce off the boards and the referee's skate and Josi maybe misplaying it a little bit. Like, you could say that's a little unlucky, but he also could have gotten back and checked Laine a little bit, and Laine went right around him and got back in position and put home the give and go. So I don't know what. I don't know, you tell me about first period right out of the locker room starts of games, Derek, because I can't – that part doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I can give you a short version because, you know, coaches always scream, you know, start off fast, so I can give you the long version. I'd rather give you what kind of goes into it and how potentially you can work yourself out of it if ever you work yourself out of it in a season. So we can talk about that on the other side.
Let's hear from you on that on the other side, and then Matthias Ekholm as well with our very own Chas Macabre when we return. This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive. Marquise Munson producing. Now
that's Sturgill Simpson, right?
No, man.
Dang it.
Are you serious? Hang on.
It's the Allman Brothers.
Hang on, gosh.
I'm joking. It's not the Allman Brothers either.
I thought that was Sturgill Simpson.
Are you serious?
You're jamming.
Really?
Yeah. I saw the commercial, too, for his upcoming tour.
Did you like what you heard?
It was pretty good, man.
Munson,
they didn't show him. They just showed the cartoon, the animation.
Is it not? You got to watch it, man. It's on Netflix.
Where's Sturgill Simpson at?
It's on Netflix, y'all. Go check it out.
I'll see his car and fire. Like,
exactly. I see red eyes.
Do you guys not always on Tuesdays watch, you know, post-apocalyptic dystopian Japanese anime films set to rock and roll country records? You guys don't do that every time on Tuesdays? That's not your routine?
I used to. Not anymore.
Back in the day?
Yeah, but
Munson, though, is totally right yesterday. He's like, man, that's a psychedelic album, man. And you're totally right about that. No, that was like OG Braden Gall rocking out. That was like 1993, like when I was in middle school. Like that hit me right in my like development stage of life. And the grunge rock era came out. That is Soundgarden, Derek.
Soundgarden.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Soundgarden is not a that song is a very, very popular song.
Could you see Braden?
My bad, Sturgill.
Like that.
Yeah. My bad, Sturgill.
It's really insulting to Chris Cornell, but whatever.
I could see. Could you see Braden with like long hair, like listening to grunge music with a Nirvana T-shirt hanging out in front of the mall?
When he said that, that's what I was trying to picture.
Hot Topic.
Him with some rolled up jeans, short jeans,
Pocket chain.
Yeah, the pocket.
Here's what's really funny is you guys could not be more wrong. Like I probably wished I could had that much confidence.
Did you have a chain on your wallet?
No, never. Okay. I wished I had enough confidence to be that guy you're talking about. Like I never had that much confidence, so I was like by the book. Like I had,
You didn't have long hair?
I did in college, but that was for different reasons.
Oh, okay.
That was my rebellious stage.
Okay.
And maybe my exploratory stage. But I think the grunge era, like I just was 12 years old in 1994 when I had Nirvana, I had, 93, whatever, Nevermind, Green Day, Dookie, Alice in
Chains. A hell of a name.
Alice in Chains, go down the list, Soundgarden, Metallica, you go down the list and there was this musical revolution in America. And Smells Like Teen Spirit, like that music video changed my life. Like that changed my life forever. I know it probably didn't matter to either one of you two, but it changed my life. But anyway.
That may be a stick to sports question later. Yeah. But let's...
Okay. All right.
What music changed your life?
Now, this is when I was wearing, so if you want to know what I actually looked like in middle school, it was like Airwalks, No Fear t-shirts, and like Mossimo plaid shorts. That's what I looked like.
I did wear anime t-shirts when I was a kid, when I was in middle school, so.
And I wished I would have had the confidence to go with like long black hair and like studded belt and the whole look you're talking about with
life,
the grunge.
Life is hard, man.
Yeah, go emo. Emo before emo was cool.
Hanging out in front of the mall, Hot Topic, waiting Hot Topics or Spencer's to open up.
I never went to Hot Topic, but I definitely went to Spencer's a few times. Yeah.
I figure.
You go.
Derek, tell us how we can come out of the locker room not sucking. At the start of games.
Because this is, this is one of those questions that's asked every year about a particular team. And we went through it numerous of times, whether it be here.
We do the first segment extremely well.
Yeah.
So we come out of the locker room perfect every
day. I'm not saying, yeah. We always come out of
the
locker room.
Oh, you're talking about the Titans.
Yeah, okay. I was about the Titans and when I was in Baltimore, there were, times in the season where we had a hard time scoring in the first quarter, and obviously the cliche answer is how do you get your team going, how do you start off fast? Every coach wants to start off fast, and starting off fast sometimes necessarily isn't scoring a lot of points. Sometimes starting off fast could be the defense playing.
Three and out.
Yeah, three and out for the defense. Right. Three and out for the defense. Sometimes starting fast is, sustaining drives, getting points, not just field goals, not just touchdowns, but getting points, staying on the field longer, getting, explosive plays.
And Vrabel talked about that in this game with Jacksonville coming up, that he wants sustained drives,
exactly.
Longer plays, keep the offense on the field.
And ultimately, it will end up in some type of points, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown. But that's the question that everybody wants to know when a team is not doing as well in the first period. How do you start off fast? Well, I don't think any coach really knows, because things typically. I mean, if your roster is pretty much healthy at the beginning of the season, I don't think guys, go out and say, we're not going to start off fast. We're going to kind of walk through this thing and then pick it up in the second quarter or the second period. Guys don't think that way. They go out there and they play. And some things work out for them, some things don't. It's all about execution. It's not that we're, playing any slower or playing any faster. It's about executing. How do we execute? So instead of saying, how do you start off fast? You could say, well, how do we execute better in the first period? What is it going to take for us to execute better in the first period, the first quarter, the first half, whatever it may be? How do we do that? Because the guys are playing hard. The guys are playing physical. We're not saying that about the Predators. They're playing physical and they're playing hard. How do they execute better in the first period? Well, it's attention to detail. We've already said that. It's being responsible. We've already said that. Being accountable. We've already said that. So all of these things we've already said, now we got to put it into practice on the ice. We got to go out there and do the things. And it might not necessarily end up with us leaving the first period winning.
Right.
It might be 0-0 or it might be 1-1.
I'm just sitting here thinking about listening to you talk about this, and I'm thinking about football and hockey. And we talk a lot about in hockey, we've talked a lot about with this particular team that – you know, we can fix defense. And I asked Chris Mason point blank yesterday, is it easier to fix defense or offense in the middle of a season? And he said, it's not even close. It's defense. You can fix the defense in the season because it's about attention to detail, work ethic, you know, whatever. It's not about talent, just having dudes, right, that can just go out and do spectacular things on the offensive end of the ice. I feel like coming out in the first period, it's almost better for offense in hockey. And tell me if you agree with this. I think it's better for offense to be shot out of a cannon, right? To have that, like, huge emotional roo-rah-rah moment before you go out there. In hockey, it's better for offense because it's about forechecking. It's about activity. It's about physicality. In the NFL, it feels like offense can't be like that. Offense has to be, you know, finely tuned and execute and be focused on every step and be attention to detail, whereas defense in football, you can be shot out of a cannon and come out there snarling, right, with smoke coming out of your nose. Is that
yeah,
it's almost
yeah.
like you can't, like on defense in hockey, you can't be like a middle linebacker in the NFL where you, like a Ray Lewis speech, mm-hmm. right? Ray Lewis gives a speech before a game, and people are seeing red, right, in that locker room. You've been there, right? Like you've felt it, what it feels like, and the defensive players probably have this emotional response to that, and they go out there and they play with their hair on fire. I don't think it works that way for defense in the NHL. I think it's the opposite. I think mm-hmm. you can do that for offense. I don't think you can do that for defense. I think it has to be finely tuned and focused like offense in the NFL.
Defenses, if you look across the board, majority of the time, go to training camps, two-day camps, which is one-and-a-half-day camps, really. But you go to camps in the summer across the NFL. Let's just say across the NFL. The common theme is typically the defense have the better of the offense that first week. Why? Because the defense, and I've said this many a times, 10 guys can be doing the right thing. And if one guy does something opposite, he can get an interception. He can get a sack. And it makes it seem like everybody was doing the right thing. But in actuality, that one guy
freelance
was supposed to go into coverage, but he blitzed and he got a sack, sack fumble. But no one's going to say that.
Right.
Well, in offense, if we're running a pass play and say, not picking on Taylor Lewan. Well, let me not say Taylor.
It. Go for it.
Let me
go
pick Raj.
Oh, no. Taylor's the leader making it.
Yeah, let's say Taylor.
His ego's just fine. Dude.
Yeah, he can right. handle it. Let's say if they call a pass play and Taylor run blocks. Well, that dude's going to go right by him and hit the quarterback in the back of the head. And
I can just see it. They call it quick exactly. slant. He's like 5 yards downfield.
Exactly. Now you have 10 guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing. It works for defense, but right. it doesn't work for offense.
Yep.
And I think that's how it, you know, in the NHL or whatnot, it's, you know, you can come out, you're saying from an offensive standpoint, it might be different because in NHL, I think your innate score. You want to get the puck into the net.
It's about pressure.
Go. Yeah. Pressure. How do we pressure their side of the ice?
Forsberg was snarling.
Exactly.
I could see smoke coming out of Forsberg's ears last night in the first period. Like, you could see it. Like, I think there was actual smoke coming out of his ears. Because he was, like, at one point on one shift, like, there wasn't anybody to hit, and he just was going to hit stuff. And I was like, he's clearly trying to prove a point.
Yeah, so you can go. I think easier, like offenses, you go. Defenses is kind of, that's where you got to kind of, you know, if you're coming out, the best thing you can do defensively from what I understand, from a hockey standpoint, is it's honestly is no difference than football. Is if you are accountable to the person next to you, to the guys on the ice with you, if you are where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to do. If you're and not trying to do someone else's job. Now, I can see if somebody just got completely beat and right. Then you gotta do your thing. But if everything's sort of equal, do your job. Don't worry about what,
you know,
Forsberg or someone else is doing on the other side of the ice. Do your job. DYJ, do your job. Stick with your job. Stick with your man. Don't be looking left and the man come around you right. And then now you're looking for him. Do your job. And I think that's what the Predators are preaching. Do your job. Be responsible for what you do. Play as a team. Trust that Jed Johansson is going to do what he's supposed to. Trust that Duchesne. Just trust the guys around you. Because when you stop trusting, you stop doing your job.
Yeah. I think that's a good message this week. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Marquise Munson. Listen, we got college football playoff rankings. I know I promised you Matthias Ekholm. We will get to that when we come back. So we got a huge night in soccer history in this city last night, as well as Nashville SC's expansion draft took place last night. Really cool stuff there. We may even hear from some of those guys. We've got college football playoff rankings. We got Derek Mason getting essentially, you know, Malcolm Turner announcing Derek Mason's return.
And we just talked about all that whole scenario yesterday.
Yep. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. You will hear from Matthias Ekholm, though, however, when we come back. I promised you that time last segment. So we'll do that when we return, and then we'll get into the college football playoff rankings and everything else that went down in Nashville yesterday. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Preds lose last night 2-1 to the Winnipeg Jets. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and that is now 7 out of 8 losses for your Nashville Predators. 6th place in the division, 9-8-3 on the season. Frankly, just not a good hockey team right now. Doesn't mean they won't be a good hockey team at some point. Doesn't mean they won't work their way out of this slump. I like the physicality, like the energy from last night. As we've said, the first two segments, they've got to figure out something that needs to work in the first period. And offensively, they sort of went into a shell, had a great opportunity on a power play on a 5-on-3 at the end of the second period. They couldn't capitalize. Very little sustained offensive high danger area possession and opportunity. Meanwhile, Winnipeg has far too many high danger chances and capitalized on a couple of them. So that's how this works. And a huge game coming up on Thursday to rebound. Matthias Ekholm, this is Chase McCabe, who caught up with the Preds defenseman after the loss last night with Matthias Ekholm.
18 seconds in, they're able to score. What did you like about the response, though, from your team after that?
I thought we played good all night. It was a fluky bounce on the ice, and it just happens every once in a while. You get a goal going your wrong way early. It's usually tough, but I thought we responded well. I thought we played hard all night. I think we're just, I don't know if we're holding our stick too hard right now or whatever it is. We just can't find the back of the net. And I thought we played a lot better defensively tonight, and if we keep doing the things we did tonight, I think it's going to go a long ways.
Do you feel like with a veteran group, with a veteran player like yourself, that even in a stretch like this, that's where some of that experience comes in, where you guys are able to pull out of this?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'd hope and I'd like to think so, at least. There are going to be stretches throughout the year where you play not maybe what you to the potential or the way you like, but the only really thing that matters is how you respond to each and every game. And I thought the response from last game was really good. I thought we played pretty well, and we got to play even a little better next game. That's what it is. It's we're in the winning business. We didn't get a point tonight, so it's tough. It sucks. We just gotta try to find that little spark, that score, that extra goal, that extra detail. It's just where we're at right now.
What did you see out of Santini and Olivier added to the lineup tonight, called up from Milwaukee?
Thought they played really well. I mean, Olivier had that shift where he was hitting everything and got the crowd into it, so I thought they played really well, both of them.
There's Matthias Ekholm with Chase McCabe following the game. And, yeah, I did think Matthew Olivier making his NHL debut. Always interesting to see when a player gets his first ever NHL shift. Always a really cool moment there. Steven Santini, who was acquired in the PK Subban trade, was in the third pairing. Matt Irwin, Kyle Turris, Kyle Turris, healthy scratch last night. And Peter Laviolette was asked about it after the game, and he gave about a four-second answer. It was like, it was a lineup decision. It was a lineup decision.
And that's what I was going to ask.
On to Cincinnati.
In that regard. Because we look at Kyle Turris, and he's been playing well. He hasn't been playing great. But considering the
it's
way he played.
He's been slumping a little bit lately.
Considering the way he played last year, he started off like the team started off. Hot. Pretty good.
And now you
bench him.
They wanted to get more physical.
Yeah, obviously. I just hope that this is, this is not one of those, and I'm not saying it is. This is not one of those situations where you become the scapegoat because, it's easier to target you. Because you didn't play well last year. There was questions about you, yada, yada, yada.
You're like a third rail right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, and you've become the scapegoat. When you're not playing, if you do anything wrong, we're looking at you first to remove you from the lineup and replace you. Someone else could be doing the same thing, but it's you that's doing it. So we're going to and I've seen coaches and teams do it, being a part of the team. You have no margin for error. I hope that is not because he's been playing fairly well, and obviously there's something going on where he hadn't played as well the last week or so.
If we're going to compare this team to the Rockets and compare this team to the Chiefs and compare these teams to these offensive finesse teams, finesse being the key word, they're going to have to get more physical.
Yeah.
You cannot win championships in hockey being finesse. I'm sorry. Eventually, heavy hockey comes back in the playoffs. You got to play heavy hockey in the playoffs, and that's why I like seeing a guy like Olivier at 6'2", 220 on the same line with Austin Watson. That fires Austin Watson up a little bit, and both those guys were flying around a little bit more last night. Steven Santini brings more physicality to the back end in that third defense pairing. So, listen, they're sort of trying things right now. Another guy who is constantly being physical, even though his small stature doesn't allow him to have a huge impact in that department, but he is constant. If you ever notice, if you watch 23, you watch Rocco Grimaldi, almost every single thing he does, he's having an impact on one of the players on the other team. It might be a little poke check here or a cross check there. Legal stuff. I'm not talking about penalties. Mm-hmm. But the guy is always finishing the play the way he's supposed to. And Rocco Grimaldi last night had some commentary about, listen, they haven't played good hockey here, but it's still just November.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's we lost seven or we lost eight or something like that. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but for as good of a team as we believe we are, those are the games you just got to find a way. When you're in a bad stretch, you lose two, three, four, whatever in a row, you just got to band together, stick together, and come out of it. It sucks that we're going through this, but you know what? It's good that we're going through this in November. Hopefully this is something that we can learn from. It can bond us together. It can grow us because still a lot of season left. I don't know, 55, 60 games, whatever. So hopefully this is something that will bond us and grow us closer together as the year goes on.
So there's a thing that happens in hockey, and I understand why it happens, that guys, even in a loss, while Rocco Grimaldi is talking about how poorly they've played and losing 7 out of 8 there, because it's such a long season, very few players get emotional in interviews, right? They don't ever say anything. They're always just sort of monotone, like, yeah, we didn't play well. Yeah, we won 16 games in a row. Yeah, we lost 14 games in a row. Like, it doesn't. You can almost never tell how a team's playing by listening to a hockey player talk. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really tell. And that's because I think the season's so long and they know that it's so long and that, you're going to have slumps. You're going to have moments where you're playing extremely well. I will say this. There's a small, tiny moment at the end of the game last night that I thought spoke volumes, and I was really actually just – I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. The final buzzer goes off, and Matt Duchene smashes his stick against the boards.
Yeah, I saw that at the end.
Smashes his stick against the boards. And I had to rewatch it 3 times because I was like, is that Arvidsson? Because that makes sense if it's Arvidsson. Arvidsson plays with that kind of passion on every single shift. But to see Matt Duchene do that, your highest paid offensive player with Ryan Johansson at $8 million a year, show us some emotion about how you are clearly frustrated and disappointed in this. That's a good, I like seeing that. Again, it's a small thing. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But these hockey guys, they're just so even keel all the time. Because you kind of have to be. I was like, thank you, Matt Duchene. That's the way the fans feel right now. For the first time in a long time, the fans are pissed off. at how this team is playing, because they're not a good hockey team right now.
Yeah, and you know, when they were a good hockey team, we said this is a good hockey
right.
team. This team is like,
you're in sixth place.
This team is awesome. They're scoring. They're the best scoring team in the league. Yada yada yada. Can't nobody keep up with them. But now they are they're not playing well, and they are one of the worst teams. They're not one of the top 10, no. 12 teams. They're just not. They are more so in that middle
pack. In the
pack.
Western Conference.
Yeah, in the middle pack toward the end. And you hope, you just hope that they work themselves out of it, because, again, we hear this, I'm happiest at the beginning. They said this last year about the power play. We are happy it's happening now.
Right.
And we got time to fix it. Well.
Dude, I have your voice like playing in my head now with that. Like,
yeah,
over and over
like,
again.
It has to change.
It's fine.
Now. Yeah,
it's fine now.
Exactly.
You're like, what about last year? In the year before, it was the penalties. It was the year before. It was like,
exactly.
Too many penalties. Too many penalties. Oh, it's just Thanksgiving. Don't worry about it. Too many penalties. Too many penalties. And then you're in the playoffs, and there's too many penalties. And it's like, well, I guess it never got fixed
exactly.
throughout the course of the season. Keith wants to chime in here before we go to break. Keith, what's up?
Hi guys. A little thing about Kyle Turris. One thing I noticed last year is after he hurt his shoulder specifically, and he's never been a real physical player anyway. But he would avoid contact at all costs. One thing I noticed at the beginning of this year on the forecheck, he was really forechecking good. The whole team was. And Kyle Turris here in the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 games seems to have gotten away from the aggressive forecheck that he was doing. And the whole team is not forechecking as aggressive as they were early. But Kyle Turris has just avoided contact altogether. And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thank you. If that is indeed the case, this is, you know, this is sort of the problem with hockey, in a sense, because hockey is more coy than Bill Belichick. They're not going to tell you anything, and I get it. I know why. You don't want your opponent to have a upper hand to let them know what's really going on. I'm pretty sure if there was some type of injury, would the Predators have said something? Would they have put it on the injury report?
We know that Lavi, by definition, is the most.
And that's what I'm saying.
You know,
yeah.
He's the most clandestine secretive. Spy of all the coaches in the NHL. He's going to keep it all to himself.
Yeah. So if there is something wrong with Kyle Turris and he's avoiding. He's avoiding contact. If that is indeed the case,
so.
I don't know if it's the case,
yeah,
but if that is indeed the case, then it would help the player from a public standpoint to say, hey, listen,
yeah, I don't,
this
yeah.
guy is a little bit banged up. That's why he's
not.
And we don't know if that's the case, so
no,
I'm not going to go down that road
he was
too
asked,
far.
Peter Laviolette said it was a lineup decision, and I agree with the caller. Kyle Turris is not a guy who stands. Part of the reason they needed to go get Duchesne and need to get guys who stand in front of the net is that Kyle Turris is not, that's not what he does well. He doesn't go muck up the dirty areas very well. That's not what he does. He's not
and
a particularly.
Probably when he tried it, he got hurt, and he was like, you know
not,
what? I'm done with this.
He's a finesse player. Again, too many finesse guys. That's why, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these guys moves before the deadline for some physicality and some size and some of that down low. All right, college football playoff rankings. We also had an announcement from Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner yesterday. We'll get to all of that when we return. This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, listen, I lied to you guys. I apologize. That's E-Me, Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Of course, live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet, obviously powered by RumbleOn.com. I lied to you guys. We're going to talk about college football, but just in a few minutes, because there's so much there.
We had an audible.
Yeah.
We audible out of
and
college
Omaha.
Football for
normally,
now. Omaha, Chicago, Detroit.
And normally that is a bad thing to do in radio. We told you we were going to talk about college football, but I am deciding, we are deciding, Marquise, Derek, and myself are deciding
to switch it up. You got to switch it up. You got to call audible.
Because last night was a huge night for Nashville SC, the MLS version of Nashville SC. They had the big viewing party last night down. Of course, at Old Red downtown on Broadway, a bunch of people showed up, and we might actually have some audio for you guys here in just a minute. Our guy Wes Bowling was down there hanging out, and they end up drafting 5 guys. Now, 2 of them get traded in the middle of this expansion process, so even if you were watching and following along and you saw them draft draft somebody in, with the second overall pick, who then, of course, is immediately traded for a goalkeeper, for example. Here's what I think you need to know. If I could boil this down to, you know, listen, soccer has not yet reached the level in this city where we can talk about the specifics, right? I don't think people have mm-hmm. figured it out enough yet that we can talk about, you know, who is who,
the
3-4-2-1
yeah,
formation,
and
like, I just don't think we're there yet as a city. So, like, to me, what I feel like our audience wants to know is sort of what's the gist of what Gary Smith wants to do, the head coach of Nashville SC. What does he want to accomplish? What is this team going to look like? And I think last night gave us some insight as to what this team will look like, not to mention tracking and following Gary Smith's career. And obviously, I've been around the coach and the team calling some of the games the last couple of years. I've been fortunate enough to do that. Listen, you still have a couple of holdovers right now. Derek Jones, Daniel Rios, Cameron Lancaster from the USL team. A bunch of other signings as well. But last night, you make two huge moves that aren't just the draft picks. You trade for two goalkeepers. You draft a couple of versatile defensemen. In fact, you signed a U.S. men's national team player in Daniel Lovitz, who's got 12 caps for the men's national team, 5 games started. He's under 30, although I was looking at his birthday. He was born in 1991, and I'm going, mm-hmm. People in there born Damn. In the 90s, dude, are going to be 30. Can you believe that people born in the 90s are going to be 30 soon? Like in the next year?
Marquise Munson.
What year were you born, Marquise?
I was born in 1990. August of 1990.
Munson.
And so next August you turn 30?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We're going to have people born in the 90s that'll be 30 years old.
Munson.
We are all.
I'm 15, 16 years older than you, Munson.
We are all going to die soon.
I don't know if that's good or bad for my case.
It's not good for either of you boys. I hate to bring. By the way, time goes by the same for all of us, just letting y'all know. But I think, again, what I took away from last night and from being around Coach Smith the last 2 years, he is going to want to build his team from the back. He's going to want to have sound. They got a really, really young, talented goalkeeper that could be a rising star
for the
future.
And the back means the goaltender
and the defense.
On up. Yeah,
they want to build like the Preds built for the first 10, 15 years of their existence. They want to build from the back forward. They already have Rios. They already have Lancaster, guys that could be really versatile forwards. They did draft a forward from Minnesota, Abu Dunlady, excuse me, with the first pick. But they went and acquired two keepers, a veteran guy and a young rising star. They went and got versatile defenders. We know Gary Smith wants to play defense first. He thinks that gives his team the best chance to win. He always wants to be a defensive-minded club. So I think that is where, if you're going to take something away from yesterday, is that, to me, they went up and shored up their goaltending situation, and they shored up the defensive back line, and then they'll work on their midfield at some point. So I just we'll see how it looks, but that's sort of what I took away from yesterday. And listen, I just think it's going to take time. It's just going to take time for people to sort of get into the nuts and bolts of soccer. How long did it take us to get into the nuts and bolts of hockey? It took us forever. And again, not necessarily – I know everybody – you know, had a different level of experience with hockey when the Preds showed up and all this other stuff. But as a city, you know, the reason Pete Weber and Terry Crisp were teaching people the rules of the game in the first few years is because people needed to learn the rules of the game. Like, you have to, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. So I don't know. Marquise, here's the other thing. You're the young guy here, as we just talked about, almost 30.
Yep.
You're the demographic that soccer wants.
Absolutely, and I've been to a couple games. I've been to a couple at Nissan, and I've been at First Tennessee Park. And obviously, you know, you want the atmosphere to be, especially with the roadies. The roadies, you know, do a good job at bringing that soccer atmosphere to Nashville. And obviously, this is not going to be Atlanta United overnight. And I think that's what a lot of people are trying to expect, because they see how fast rising Atlanta United was. And it also helps that they won games. And, you know, they're playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then that goes back to the Tennessee Titans on needing to do something with maybe Nissan, because now you have two teams playing there. And you want to make that experience as, you know, great as possible. And I think that's why another reason why Atlanta United has been so popular, because they play at Mercedes-Benz. So it's just
the new stadium will help big time.
Yeah, the new stadium will definitely help, and I don't want people to support the soccer in spurts, because it's like, okay, we're in USL right now. I'm waiting for MLS, and okay, now we're at MLS. No, I'm waiting to the new stadium. And don't support it in spurts. Just go out there, you know, support the team right away. Learn a little bit about soccer. That's one thing I had to do getting into it. And, you know, this team could really be good.
I just find it such an enjoyable experience watching soccer. It's so relaxing to me. That's why I like going to baseball games, too, is because going to baseball games is like a social experiment. Like, it's like a, it's not like football. When you go to a football game, you have a job to do. Stand up, sit down, be loud, be quiet, right? Like, that's how football works. Like, soccer and baseball to me are more social experiences. You're talking to your buddies, you're having fun, it's very mellow. Like, I could sit here and I could, like, so Abu Dunlady was their first pick last night. They drafted a forward out from Minnesota United FC. He was the number one. I could tell you all this stuff, that he's the number one overall pick in the 2017 MLS Super Draft. I could tell you that he scored 8 goals in his rookie season. Like, I could break down his skill set. Where is he good on the ball? Is he good on the cross? Like, we could go through all that. But I don't think Nashville's ready for that yet. I think we got to build up to that. And I think right now it's having Daniel Rios score like 35 times this year is going to be helpful, because he's a guy that people are going to know. There's going to be some recognition.
And I think that's what scares a lot of people on getting into soccer, is not knowing soccer. And that's it. Kind of, if you don't know something, it kind of pushes you back from wanting to know. It's like, I don't know about it, and so I don't want to learn about it. And it's one of those situations where it's like, I'm interested in it. I see everybody has fun at it, but I don't know anything about it, so I'm going to stay away from it. And that shouldn't be the case at all. If you don't know about it, go learn about it and go to a game and experience it, because once again, you'll find out that you actually love it.
And I think it's the easiest sport to learn. Like there's a reason that when 3-year-olds start playing sports, they play soccer first, because it's the easiest sport to learn. And again, from a rule standpoint. I don't mean from like an ability standpoint, from a technical standpoint. I mean from a rules viewership standpoint. When you sit back and you watch soccer, you know, sure, are there some 50-50 calls where like, hey, did he get the ball first? Is it a foul? And it may take you a little while to learn those rules, but like, you can't touch the ball with your hands. You can't touch the ball. You can't commit a penalty in the penalty area. You know, everyone knows the rules. There's no, you know, there's stoppage time, and like, there's not a whole lot to learn.
Yeah.
When it comes to now, once you get into the intricacies of like the 3-4-3 or the 4-3-2-1 or all the different formations, sure, that's going to take some time to learn.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's such a simple. The reason I love it, that they call it the beautiful game, is because of its simplicity, and that I like that about it. So.
And especially, I think it's not the logistics of, you know, the simple stuff of soccer. It's like, for example, in the semifinal game, where they lost and they had an offsides called on them, and everybody was kind of confused on why that offsides call was actually called. And so I think that's, and then I had people asking me, like, you know, what happened? I was like, it's offsides. And he was like, why was that offsides? And I kind of.
Because you can't cheat.
Yeah. And I had to basically.
No snowboarding, basically,
yeah,
right?
And I basically had to explain.
Think pickup basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't snowboard.
And so I had to explain it to him basically in a way that, you know, I'm not too, you know, I know a little bit about soccer because, like I told you guys, that was my first beat ever in journalism, was covering Alabama soccer. So, and I think that's the confusion factor of, you know, going to a game and knowing what happens. And in that situation, they thought they scored a goal and then it got called offsides, and they're like, what happened? Like, I don't know what that rule means. So, and I think those are just things that you can research. And and obviously, and it was still a fun game to be at, even despite that. So I think once you get the hang of just learning the sport, the same thing with the Preds, because the South is not a hockey. It wasn't hockey. It's all.
But it has fit in.
But it has fit
in
so well because people wanted to know about the team and people cared about the Preds, that's why.
Now, some of that also has been the Preds' intentional efforts to do what they do.
Absolutely.
And I want to get into a bigger conversation when we come back about. And again, I know we got college football playoff rankings, Derek Mason, all that good stuff. But I want to get into a bigger conversation about sort of why sports work in certain places, because the Nashville Predators, for whatever reason, whether it's what they've gone out of their way to do or whatever, like, it just has clicked. Something has clicked with the Preds. Certainly a run to the cup helps. But I'm watching Memphis last night. I'm watching the Grizzly. I'm watching John Moran. And, you know, they're losing to Golden State, which is just if you're going to show progress as a franchise, you can't lose to Golden State at home right now. And they got boat raced last night. John Moran looks like a really good player, though. And I'm watching, you know, Nashville SC stuff go down. And I'm just kind of going, like, why do things work in certain places and not in others? And I know there's demographic issues, But let's get into that a little bit. By the way, who's the most likely to snowbird out of the three of us on a pickup game? And I guarantee you it's not me. I guarantee you it's Derek Mason.
Why you say that?
I don't know. You already put in your time athletically in life, yeah. And why would you come back and bust it on defense in a pickup game?
Yeah, you gotta
bust. I had but to bust no, it on defense to get picked.
But no, when I'm out there, I'm out there. And it's like I'm playing.
You're going to ball on defense?
I don't like how you said that. That sounds scary. When I'm out there.
I know.
I'm out there. I'm playing.
I'm talking about you getting fouled.
Well, you can't foul any worse than Marquise fouls. He fouls every single possession.
Hey, man, I was a buck 50. I had to throw all that weight in there when I played defense.
Yeah, well, you ain't a buck 50 now, son.
Exactly. I got that was radio butt playing defense right there.
Yeah, you're knocking me around. I'm like, man, I'm 220, dude. Come on. Too many fouls here. All right, what works? Why do certain sports work in certain areas with certain people and certain... I don't know. We'll get into that when we come back. Second hour, right around the corner, Morning Drive.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.